Welcome to Art is Worship. Each week we feature stories of artists and explore their process of creation. I'm your host, Vanessa Lowry, and I'm thankful that you are joining me. On this show, I talk with artists of various faiths, working in a wide range of mediums, on the common theme of how they use inspiration and creativity as an expression of their spirituality. Learn how their art is an expression of their own connection to however they name God, Jehovah, Allah, Source, the universe, the great mystery, or something else. My hope is that these shows, these stories, will inspire your creative efforts and your own spiritual expression. My guest today is David Greer. In the world of business, from marketing to publishing, and now in music and film, David Greer believes it all starts with the story, so it's a great intro to our show. For more than 30 years, David has harnessed the creative tools of the day to tell the stories of clients and causes, in print, online, through images, video, film, and song. His use of creative messages to achieve concrete business goals has garnered him a stellar reputation in marketing and media, while newer endeavors in the music and film industries have brought those mediums to the art and craft of his storytelling. David seeks to use storytelling and the real world examples to inspire folks to press on in faith. So welcome, David. We're glad to have you here today.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So I know your bio mentions that you do some songwriting and you do some filmmaking. Can you describe a little bit more about how you create your art?
Well, we got started in print production, and as technology goes, that's morphed into video, music, all kind of interactive art, if you will. And so by day, I think we tell stories that help promote and grow business, and I use that same medium to try to do a little good in the world where we can, and that's where the Faith On Project came to be.
So can you describe a little bit about the Faith On? I know it's evolved a little bit from an original name and now is taking on a new persona.
Yeah, about 2 or 3 years ago, one of our products was a magazine. We published a magazine, Gwinnett Magazine, and every year we were active in the Relay for Life, which is a benefit for the American Cancer Society. And we were accustomed to doing print stories and really helping the cause that way. And it's kind of one of those moments where you hear a voice talking or leading you that brought this song dimension to that project. And one year I was thinking about, well, how do we take everything that we can do, all the gifts that we have as a company, and do more for the cause? And, you know, I sat down one night and wrote a song, and I wasn't a songwriter. And I woke up the next day and I said to my wife, "Hey, I think I wrote a song." And she goes, "Oh, great, honey. You know, that's just awesome. Now go to work." But I soon hooked up with a couple of musicians and we put the song down. And it really was the birth, if you will, of the Heroes Project. And the thing that occurred to me about songs, being a storyteller and using all kind of mediums, was, you know, how cool was it that you could take a story and embed it in a 3 or 4 minute kind of drama, if you will, and then once you were done producing that song via the internet and Facebook and Twitter, that you could now send that story out around the world just like with a click of a button. And it really occurred to me that music and songs were just a unique way to spread a good message. And
so that first song, I'm curious, did it kind of download in its completion to you, or did you just have elements of it that then you expanded upon?
Yeah, it was pretty quick. I would say, you know, an hour or two. Now, since having, you know, it's like any creative endeavor, you do the first thing, you think, hey, you know, that turned out a lot better than I thought it would. Imagine what would happen if I tried. And, you know, since that time, songs have come to me with a lot more labor involved, but that one came pretty quick. And what you do, or what I do, is give myself permission to not be perfect. You know, it was something in my heart that I wanted to do. And I was, I guess, at a certain age where I didn't care so much about how people judged it. I just said, you know what? I want to do this. I want to get started and we'll see what happens from here. And then when you start getting a reaction to it and you think, well man, you know what? If I'd have known people had taken it that seriously, I would have really tried a lot harder. Don't tell anybody. It only took an hour. But I think that's where the lines cross and it starts causing me to ponder the spiritual intervention or what the purpose in it all. And you know, that's one of those kind of things where I sit and think about a lot. It's like, well, did that night on that day when I got home from work, did God speak to me and say, write this song? And honestly, I'm not that confident in that voice to say that. All I can tell you is that, you know, I'm open to things coming into your brain and from sources unknown, and then that manifesting itself in some sort of creative outlet. And in this case, that's what got this whole thing started.
Well, and I think it's interesting that you said you gave yourself permission to do it and not be so attached to what other people thought about it. You just felt like it was a good idea. So how would you coach somebody else if they were, you know, having an idea and they wanted to bring it to life, about that giving themselves permission idea?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, I wish that I could have had these insights when I was 25.
I know, wouldn't that be wonderful?
I mean, but the irony of my creative life is that when I was in school, in high school, I was a math guy and a science guy, and not a creative writing guy, and not an English guy. I mean, I still can't spell, but I write for a living. And after all these years in print production, I decided that I wanted to write an article. I had not written an article, and I was at a place where I could start up a publication as a little kind of hobby, and I decided that I was just going to write what I wanted to write. I didn't care about AP style and what the professors say you have to do. I just thought I was going to write. And that was the most freeing moment, I think, of my creative life, is just to say, well, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to care what anybody thinks, and I'm just going to keep doing it, whatever feels good to me. And lo and behold, the lesson was that not only did I start writing, but people paid attention to what I was writing, and they encouraged my writing, and so I kept going. And I think that everybody has a creative vein in them. I think anybody can be creative, but how many times do you stop and think, oh, that's, you know, probably not any good, or I'm not an artist, or I'm not this? I just encourage people to pursue it, whatever level that they are, and take one step at a time and not be so consumed with the outcome. You know, how many times have you heard that, you know, you're supposed to set concrete goals, very specific, and have this vision down to the nth degree? And while I do appreciate that discipline a lot as a business person, I do think that way in one part of my brain. Over on the creative side, I'm satisfied just to pursue this one little nugget of inspiration whatever day that it comes. And I don't know the outcome. I don't know the journey, but I'm very thankful and appreciative in that moment. And I've done it enough times now where I can really have a lot of confidence that, you know what, I don't know where I'm going, but I'll know when I get there.
Well, and sometimes that creative journey takes little side roads, and it goes around in circles and comes back on itself in a different way that you don't expect. So I appreciate that thought about, you know, having kind of an idea in mind, but not a specific goal for what it's going to look like at the end.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a great point. I was doing marketing and PR, and somebody came to me and wanted me to do a press kit for a short film. And I was learning about the film and writing press releases and that sort of thing. And then I became intrigued with the filmmaking process. And I said, wow, you know, that looks fun, and that doesn't look that hard to do, so I'm going to write a movie. And I started writing a movie with the aim to produce the short film for fun. And that's when I discovered that there's this thing called music licensing, and you got to have soundtrack. And so now I needed a song. And that's what got me started on writing a song, is that I was going to need a song for a movie. So I started it.
Oh, so the movie came first. The movie idea came first.
Right. And then long story, I won't go into that, but I abandoned the movie project and stopped that song halfway, and then went down this road with the Heroes Project. And so yeah, sometimes, and I remember writing this movie script and telling my wife, it's like, wow, I think that I have been prepared all my life to write movies. I thought I was having this profound moment then. And the reason I thought that was I thought that script writing was both very creative, imaginative, but also very structured. It tapped into both sides of the brain, and I felt adept at doing that. And I was really into it, which was interesting to me to you know, have that feeling that this is it, this is the thing. Only 2 months later to think, well, wait a minute, no, that wasn't it. Now this is it. So I guess.
But I needed to do that first to get to this.
But I didn't know.
Right.
And I think that's really the lesson is like, don't worry so much if it doesn't make sense. Just keep going forward. Just when in doubt, just go forward.
So I got you sidetracked a little bit about you were describing what the Faith On Project is. So
yeah.
Why don't you finish telling us what that's about?
Sidetracking is a sign of great creative minds, by
oh,
the way.
I love that.
In case you wondered.
Yeah.
now, what were we talking about? the Heroes Project was a project where we wrote a song, we produced CDs and downloads, and made them available to fundraisers all around the world. And the idea was that these teams take them out, they sell the CD, they raise money for the charity.
And was it primarily for cancer charities or any charities?
It was cancer, basically for cancer survivors. I'd had grandparents and father-in-laws all touched by cancer. And it quickly became very meaningful to me. We did these vignettes where we went around and videoed cancer survivors and talked to them about their story and their journey and their life and their battles. And what kept being the common denominator was this incredible amount of faith these people had. I mean, we had everybody who had curable cancer, who were cured and living their life, to people who were stage four, terminally ill, and not much hope for them. And I think the interesting part is that there were people who maybe had weeks to live, but even at that point, they still had faith in the future, and they still got up every day and they pressed on. And a matter of fact, there's this one little lady, and she's since passed, but Mary, I mean, here we were working, making videos, CDs, you know, long hours, and Mary had stage four cancer, but she managed to come by our office and insisted on paying for these CDs so then she could go out and resell them for the cause. And she just kept referring to God's will for her, and she was at perfect peace with it. And it was stories like that that inspired not only to press on with the project, but it also became the payoff, if you will, for all of the hard work that we did. Because when you go into work every day and, you know, you think, oh, I'm tired, I stayed up too late last night, I've got a headache, I don't feel it. All I have to do is think about one of those people. And it's that little kid that, you know, came to do his video 6 hours after chemo and still had a smile on his face and still pressed on, and then would sit there and talk about tomorrow and faith in the future. So faith became this common denominator, and as a offshoot or the next step beyond Heroes Project, I decided that people with faith and that incredible amount of faith, whether they you see them interviewed after a hurricane's come through and blown their house away, whether they're facing an illness, whether they've lost a job, whether they're, you know, a single mom. I'm looking now to take that story and the same model that we developed with the Heroes Project and just spread that word. I've been in awe and intimidated by the power of words. As you, as you mentioned, Facebook, through the Heroes Project and now with Faith On, I don't know what it is about that dynamic or that medium, but I found that people across the country would reach out to me as a confidant. When they're losing a parent or losing
a
wife.
Through Facebook.
Right, right.
Wow.
And I found myself having these conversations with people that you would think were reserved for a brother or a best friend. And the only thing that I can figure is that there's some safety or cushion that comes with it, that I am in some ways a stranger to them, but I'm not going to judge them. They don't have to be strong. They can just be what they want to be, and they can talk it out. And I think they found some comfort in that. And so to this day, I mean, the Heroes Project's been going on for about 3 years, and daily I hear from somebody in the country around the world that's saying, hey, you know, either say a prayer for me, my mom's at hospice, or, you know, we're going in for surgery tomorrow. And I actually talked to my pastor about this one time. I think, you know, I'm thinking, dude, I'm not worthy. I don't know what to say to these people. I mean, what do you do?
Right.
I I mean, thoughts and prayers became like sort of a passe thing. I don't know what to say besides that. And I felt like I needed to do more. I mean, somebody's reaching out to you. They got their kids and their wife and their, you know, somebody is on their deathbed and they're asking me for help. And he said to me at the time is that sometimes people just need you to listen and have a conversation with them. So I have taken some comfort in that. But it did teach me that sometimes it's a quote or a saying or a thought that can redirect somebody's day. And I do believe that, quote, thoughts are things, and I think they do turn and manifest themselves into other things. And that's what the power of Faith On became. If we can take songs, we can take quotes and Facebook pages and websites. And right now there's followers of the Faith On page in 20 countries, you know. I've even had the experience of using Google Translator to somebody sends me a note in some language I don't understand. So I run that through Google Translator, convert it to English, write an answer, convert it back and send it. And to me, to be sitting there doing that from little old Atlanta, Georgia, is a pretty cool thing.
That is a very cool thing. And I know that we're connected on Facebook, both with our personal pages, and then I'm on the Faith On page too. And I am always inspired with the things that you post on Faith On. And I think that that those quotes can really encourage anybody. You know, the things that I post on my page have a lot of similar types of themes, and I know that I post them to help me, but it helps a lot of other people too, which I think is quite a miracle.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's a good point too, is that I don't want this to sound selfish, but, you know, the page and the project is a reflection of my journey, and I've tried to make the point. It's like, look, I'm not the preacher, man. I don't know theology. I'm not your guy. I'm just living my journey out in a transparent way, thinking that there are other people who might be on the same path or having the same thoughts or the same trouble, the same questions. And maybe if I'm transparent about that and I play that out in real life, that people say, hey, you know, that's me too. And maybe they'll take that step, which is different from someone in the church or someone trying to do it, you know.
Right.
So I have to get my disclaimer out. I'm not trained. If you want to walk with me, fine. But, you know, and there was a lady who wrote me and said that, you know, Faith On had saved her life.
Oh, wow.
You know,
that's powerful.
It was, you know, like, oh, no, wait. I mean, I was, it scared me actually, but she explained that, you know, she'd lost her spouse and that she was, I guess, battling depression and that she had the pills were in reach and that something on that page that day changed her thought. And I thought it was, you understand what I'm saying when I'm saying it was scary, because it's like,
it's a lot of responsibility.
It is. I start thinking, well, why? I don't know if I'm ready for that, but I think it really taps into the spirit of human kindness at its rarest form, is that I don't know what I can do to help. But I do think that putting positive statements out there and thoughts that I'm using to lead my own outlook on life are a good step in the right direction. It can't hurt.
Well, and it makes me think of what you were saying earlier about with your creative process. Part of it's just showing up and being available for what comes to you and then following that. So, you know, this interaction with people is a lot of it, like your pastor said, it's listening to people and just showing up for whatever they need to say that day.
Yeah. I think listening and being still are things that I don't know that any of us do well enough, but I think that maybe there's a few parts to creativity. One is quieting your brain and blocking out some of the distractions long enough so that you can hear and be inspired. Then the second step has to be to act on what you hear and to not discount it and say, you know, what am I going to do writing a song? I've never written a song before. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. You know, let me go do something I know how to do. But, you know, if you do hear that or feel that impulse or a voice tells you, or you just have a feeling to pursue it, then I would just say go for that, because you never know what's right after. And I've always enjoyed first things, you know, like at being a middle-aged man, if I can finish up a year and look back, what did I do last year for the first time ever in my life? Whether that write a movie, write a song, you know, come on a radio show. I mean, all those things just have significant impact on my life. And they almost fuel my curiosity for the future. And what I come away with is a humble confidence. I know that I can learn how to do anything I set my mind to. I really know that. So if somebody says, you know, can you write a song and produce a record? I would say yes. Can you do a TV show? I would say yes. Anything you ask me, can I do? I would say yes. Because I've learned that there are people willing to help you, and there are infinite ways you can go learn if you just have the will and the passion to do it.
So do you find that your process of creation is different when you're creating by yourself versus when you're creating in a collaborative type of situation?
Yes, I would say very much so. Particularly when you're pursuing matters of faith, I think that it becomes such a personal endeavor that there's an intimacy involved in you and God or the voice or the power, whatever it is to you, and a real purity involved in that process that is different than when you go out to a group. But by the same token, I've not latched on to some of my creative projects to the degree that I didn't invite collaboration when I felt it. You know, like, music is a very collaborative process, and I'm amazed at talented musicians and what they do in a room. It just blows my mind. And I've found that when I started, I was very timid at it because I was in such awe of somebody who would play an instrument that I would be like, oh, that sounds good. And then they would do something. Oh, that sounds good, too. It all sounded good to me. And then with a little experience, I began to realize that there are some things that had to register with me that were on the right track. And in collaboration, it was a fine balance to walk between getting input but not losing that original vision or passion mm-hmm. that you had for the outcome. So I think they're two different things to me.
So how do you choose the collaborators that you're going to bring into your projects?
Sometimes it's trial and error. I think it's just like meeting people, you know. I think sometimes you can sit down with somebody and you feel an instant connection and you feel like you've known them for years. And I think in the collaboration process, it's much like that. It doesn't make one way wrong or right. But I've learned sometimes the hard way that let's just say that you meet up with a musician and it doesn't go the way you intended. You don't want to be bashful about going a different direction. I don't want to sit there and be at odds with vision. I try to be respectful of their vision, but if it's not right, I would look out and find that place that felt right or find that person that was in sync at that time. In due time, I think everybody can come around to the context that you're in at the moment, but oftentimes it's not in sync for whatever reason at that time, and I don't think that you should be bashful about bailing out of that one and
right.
trying something different.
And I think there is, you know, when it's a project that you're spearheading, it is your vision and you want people that can match that vision. And then they might have a project that you collaborate on that it's their vision and you're matching their vision. So.
Yeah. I think it's a very much a give and take thing. I don't ever want to, I run a creative business and there's always a fine line between being the leader and the boss and shutting off somebody's
right.
brilliant idea that's just about to come. So I have to dance in both sides. On the Faith On project, one of my dreams about the song that we're doing, which we go to the studio today to lay down a rough track, which I'm kind of excited about. But one of my dreams is I want to take that song out into the streets and I want to go to Atlanta or New Orleans or Nashville and just take the lyric and the chord structure to street musicians and have them interpret on the spot and record what they would do to it. And so I do find that place for collaboration, a place of growth for an idea. And I don't want to shortchange us on that. So,
So you mentioned a minute ago about the importance of stilling your mind and listening. Do you have a process that you use to do that so that you can get in touch with those ideas?
You know, it's, maybe it's like kind of schizophrenic where you say, shut up, boy, now be quiet. I mean, I think you can get ahead of yourself. And I think that I try to spend a couple of hours a night. I used to be a morning person where I would get up at 4 a.m. because nobody else was up at 4 a.m. But then through married life and business, my wife turned into the morning person. So now she takes the morning slot. And so I usually stay up later at night to where it can be quiet and just sit. I mean, that's just it. This is going to sound weird, but sometimes when I'm writing lyrics, I actually play classical music through the earphones as I'm writing a lyric that has an entirely different melody, but it's something about what it does to your brain. It just takes it off in this other space. And but being quiet, I think if there's one thing in life that is probably overlooked, it's being still and being quiet and listening. I mean, everybody's on such a fast pace, and you know, you are starved for creative inspiration, but then if you're not being quiet in a consistent way, I don't know that you ever give your brain a chance to hear that kind of stuff.
I think that's a very good point. David, I'm so glad that you're here with us today, and I would love for you to share with our listeners how they can find out more about you and how they can connect to the Faith On Project and find out more about that.
Sure. Easiest thing is to log on to faithon.com, and from there you can link out to a Facebook page. You can also link out to the Heroes Project and see, I don't know, 24 video vignettes of cancer survivors, and there's also a making of the song video there that explains the project in detail, but that'll be at faithon.com.
That's excellent. Well, we're just about out of time, so I appreciate all your insights and the ideas that you've given people today. It's really been a fascinating show. So listeners can come to faithon.com and connect to the Facebook page and find out more about you and about the projects.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
yeah.
That's great. So thanks to our listeners. I welcome your suggestions and your comments on this or any of our shows. You can find links to all of our shows on empowerradio.com or on our website, artasworship.net. Please come share your stories of art as worship on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/artasworship, or you can suggest an artist that we should interview. Listen in next week as we talk to another artist about their creative process and how it connects to their spiritual journey. May you have an inspired and creative week. Namaste.